This afternoon, I want us to revisit some statements that I made this morning. And the purpose for this revisit will be to get us in the place where we're going to look at some material that will be new and fresh to us. Let me ask you to go with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11. And let us begin with verse 23, and I'll read verse 23 through 25. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. The name Moses appears some 750 times in the Old Testament. Moses' name appears a little more than 80 times in the New Testament. Moses is made mention of here in the great chapter of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. All of these who are mentioned in this chapter are people who had to choose. They had to make a choice. All of these are people who then had to suffer. And then all of these were people who gained God's approval by their faith. Now, in order to get us where I want us to be, and once we get there, I'm going to make a couple of applications and I'll be done with this. But in order to get us there, I want you to note some things directly from the passage. I want you to notice first that Moses had to choose. He had to choose. But now I want you to look at something that's said about his choice. In verse 24, it says that by faith, Moses, when he became of age. Then verse 25 said, he chose. So the decision that Moses makes here is a decision that he made when he was grown up. The choice that Moses makes here is a choice that he made after he had become of age and after he was a man. So this choice that Moses makes, this decision, this is his choice, and this is his decision. Do you understand that? Now, when Moses was an infant, when Moses was a child, there were others who made his choices for him. Look at verse 23. By faith, when Moses was born, he was hidden for 3 months by his parents. So when Moses was a child, when Moses was an infant, his parents, his mother, Jochebed, was making choices and making his decisions for him. But when Moses became of age, when Moses grew up, when Moses became a man, Moses made his own choices. Now, in Exodus chapter 2 and in verse 11, it speaks of this very choice. And Exodus 2 verse 11 says that Moses did this when he was grown. Now, Stephen, of all people, Stephen gives us information about this in Acts chapter 7 when he's going through the history of the Hebrews. Stephen says in Acts 7 and in verse number 23 that Moses was some 40 years old when it came into his heart that he needed to look into his people. So Moses, when he makes this decision, he is a man. Now here's a thought, and then we move on. There was a time in all of our lives when others made our choices. Whether or not we, quote, went to church, that was a decision that was made by somebody other than ourselves. Where we went and where we didn't go and who we hung with and who we didn't hang around with, those were choices and decisions that somebody other than ourselves made about us. But then when we became of age, when we were grown, when we became adults, then we began to make choices and we began to make the decisions in our own lives. And at that point, brethren, we became responsible for the decisions and the choices that we make. You can't always point to mama and blame her. And you can't always point to daddy and blame him. And him or her may both of them not have been what they ought to be. But when we become of age and when we begin to make our own decisions, then we become responsible for these choices we make. Amen. Moses had to choose. Second thing I want you to see here in this is that Moses did not choose on the basis of what felt good. Moses did not make his choice on the basis of what felt good. Look again at verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. The decision that Moses made as a man was not a decision that was made based on what felt good. It was a choice he made that was based on what was the right thing for him to do. Moses had to choose, am I going to be an Egyptian or am I going to be a Hebrew? That's what Moses had to choose. And he chose to be a Hebrew. The choices that you and I make when we become of age to guide our lives, these are choices that we must make, but we cannot make choices simply based on what our feelings are about it. We have to make choices based on what is the right thing for us to do. And the only place we can determine what is the right course to pursue is by following the Word of God. So Moses, number one, watch me, Moses had to choose. Number two, Moses chose not on the basis of what felt good, but on the basis of what was right. The choice that he made caused affliction and suffering. Number three, notice from the text that the pleasures of sin do not last. Look at the end of verse 25. The end of verse 25. Enjoying the passing pleasures of sin. Brethren, Moses chose the permanent over the temporary. Moses chose the future over the present. Now here's where we're going. The pleasures of sin do not last. Here's where we're going. The pleasures of sin do not last. But there are some things about this that do last. The pleasure of sin does not last. But in all of this, there are some things that do remain. Two applications. Number one, the pleasure of sin does not last, but the temptations do. Right? Right? The pleasure of sin does not last, but temptation remains. There are some people who struggle with the same temptations over and over and over and over again. And there are some people who will struggle with the same temptation all of their lives. All of their lives. And these will be temptations that they try to fight off, and they sometimes will lose the battle. They'll give in to the temptation again. They know that the pleasure that's going to come now from succumbing to the sin isn't going to last. So then it destroys them. They come out of it. But then after a period of time, what remains? The temptation comes. Now, what that means is that all of us who deal with these people must have a great deal of patience and understanding. We who deal with these people, we must have patience with those who deal with the same struggles over and over again. And if you're not one of them who has to deal with that kind of a situation, then you don't understand it. And we want to say to people, look, just move on. But nobody wants to just move on any more than they do. So here's the drug addict. He knows it's no good. He knows, for he succumbs to the temptation again, he's going to be messed up. But he succumbs. He gets messed up. He wants out. He's trying. So he gets out of it. He does fine. And then the temptation comes and he succumbs again. And back into this hailstorm he goes again. And then his life crashes again. And this time he goes into rehab. And then he comes out of rehab. And time goes by and it's fine. And then the temptation comes again and it's crashing. And we're saying, why doesn't he just move on? He wants to. If he's honest. He wants to if he's honest. There are people who are chronic worriers. They have anxiety disorders. They have anxiety disorders. No day is a day until I find something that I can worry myself sick about. And you say, look, just move on. You know what? Nobody wants to move on more than they want to move on. Look, so we have to have patience. And we have to have understanding. And if you're not in that fire, you don't understand that fire. So you can't judge that fire. The pleasure of sin doesn't last, but for a lot of people, that temptation remains. That temptation remains. Let me make a second application here. The pleasure of sin doesn't last, but the issues of life remain. Now, I got four of these, but I'm only going to share two of them with you. The first one is grief. The pleasure, listen to what I'm saying, because I'm trying to help people. And most of the people that I'm trying to help aren't even here. But those who are here are the ones who are going to try to help them. The pleasures of sin do not last, but grief really hangs around. So, a mate dies, or a child dies, or a sibling dies, or a grandchild dies, a loved one dies. And so when that happens, there is the funeral, there are the flowers, there are the food, there are the hugs, and then the rest of us, we move on with our lives, but this immediate family, they don't move on. Do you understand what I'm saying? Their lives have stopped. Their lives, we move on, but their lives are never, ever going to be the same. And you can believe that. And we, you know what? Just snap out of it. There are some things you can't snap out of. You understand that? Genesis 24 and verse 67, Isaac is about to marry Rebecca. Isaac is still grieving 3 years after the passing of his mother. 3 years. Dude, you got to get over this. 3 years, Sarah's dead 3 years. Isaac is still grieving. Listen, are you listening? There's no timetable on grief. There's no timetable on this. And we can't be judgmental toward those who are going through this. The pleasures of sin doesn't last. But for many people, depending on their situation, temptation remains. And for all of us, temptation remains in some area. Second, the pleasure of sin doesn't last, but boy, does grief remain. And third, the last thing, the second issue of life, is that the pleasures of sin do not last, but guilt does. Guilt remains. Forgiveness is available. Everybody knows that. God not only is willing to forgive, but God wants to forgive. He wants to forgive. But guilt hangs around. I want to show you three passages, and then we're going to head to a close. But I want you to see this. Turn to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. It's a passage that you've heard. You probably know it. You may know it. But I want to give you an insight into it. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. Paul says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Now watch this. Paul says, "Of whom I am chief." You see it? The word chief there means first in rank. I'm first in rank of sinners. What does that mean? That means that in Paul's mind, if you were to list every sinner, the one who ought to rank first at the top of the list of sinners, Paul says, number one, that'd be me. And I'm thinking, it's Paul. Are you serious? It's Paul. This probably isn't the main thought in this, but let me tell you what's in this. He writes this some 20, 25 years after his conversion. He's still looking upon himself as first in rank of a sinner. What I see here is a man who still has some tinge of guilt in his life because of what he was and what he did before he was converted. Remember that holding Stephen's coat? Remember that consenting to his death? Remember that dragging Christians out of their homes? Remember going as far as Damascus and we're going to bring them back and we're going to kill them? 25 years, 20 years after his conversion, that guilt is still tingling and tinging up on him. The pleasure of sin passes, but guilt remains. Guilt remains. Look at Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is David's psalm of repentance concerning the incident, the situation with Bathsheba, and the fact that he's had a man murdered. And in Psalm 51 and in verse 3, David said, "For I acknowledge my transgressions," now here it is, "and my sin is always before me." You know what that is? That's guilt. That's guilt. Third passage, Proverbs chapter 13 and in verse 15, "The way of the transgressor is hard." And we've always translated that to be, well, if you get out into sin, life is going to be hard. And that's exactly the translation. That's exactly the way it can be used. But let me tell you something. The way of a transgressor is hard because his guilt is going to stay on him too. And his sin is going to ride him. And it's even going to change his face. And his action, but his guilt's going to stay with him too. So what's this all about? What is this all about? This whole sermon, this whole thing, my whole purpose for this thing tonight, is so that you and I can understand that there are some people who need a great deal of patience and a great deal of understanding. Amen. Now, if they're not interested and if they're not trying, that will be made evident and they be dealt with accordingly. But we need to have patience and we need to have understanding toward those who are trying. And patience get thin. But what we have to remember is that the good Lord has had patience and understanding with all of us. Because the best of us aren't all that much. Right? I mean, we got some issues too. So as God has been patient with us, we have to be patient with them. Are you listening? You know what I found out? Everybody doesn't think like me. And everybody doesn't do like I do. You know what else I found out? Everybody doesn't think like you either. And everybody doesn't do like you do either. And we got answers for all them people whose problems we don't have. Well, if that's me, you better be careful what comes out of your mouth, because someday that might be you. Well, I think you ought to be careful what you're about to say, because someday it might be you. The pleasure of sin doesn't last, but temptation hangs around. Grief, oh, it hurts. Guilt remains. But here's the good news. We can depend on Jesus for all of it. Listen to it carefully. Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. It's tough. It's tough. But we love, we pray, and we be patient. And when that doesn't work, you go out in the back of your house and scream. And then you come in and you love and you pray and you be patient some more. If you need to respond, do it right now as together we stand